This is The Headline with Brandon Waltons, where we talk about the biggest stories from across Texas. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Friday. Wow, what a long week it has been. I'm Brandon Waltons, Managing Editor of Texas Scorecard, and this is The Headline, where we're going to talk about some of the big stories that were happening in Texas, specifically in the Texas legislature this week, as pressure continues to build, as lawmakers have less than a month left to get those priorities done. I'm joined this morning with Jacob Asmussen, our senior reporter, to talk about a few of these big stories. And Jacob, as I mentioned, look, there's less than 30 days left in this session. The clock is ticking. Pressure is really mounting up to get, from conservatives to get some of those conservative, Republican Party of Texas priorities across the finish line. And it seems that on some of those issues, there has been some movement. In fact, this week on the pro-life front, the House passed the heartbeat bill.
You're right, Brandon. The Texas House passed a landmark pro-life bill that will make it illegal for an individual to kill a child in the womb after a heartbeat is detected.
Yeah, this is legislation that passed the Senate a month or two ago. There was a little bit of concern about whether or not it would pass out of the House, but ultimately the bill was indeed brought to the floor.
Yep. And as over 53,000 Texas children were killed by abortion in 2020, this bill will save countless of those lives.
Now, Democrats, of course, put up some level of opposition, right? Mm-hmm. You did have Democrats standing up on the floor speaking against the bill. The interesting thing to note, though, was that the debate did not last as long as you might expect for something this controversial.
Right. It passed fairly smoothly. Mm-hmm. But what was shocking and sad to see was some Democrats, specifically State Rep Donna Howard, even admitting that they were supporting exterminating a baby in the womb. She admitted that, mm-hmm. look, there's no argument I could say that this isn't a life developing in the womb, but yet she still supported the practice.
So. Right, and Donna Howard being, of course, an Austin Democrat lawmaker there in the Texas Capitol, and joined by other Democrats. But it is important to know there was one Democrat who did end up voting for the bill, right? And State Representative Ryan Guillen?
Yep, he was the only one to support protecting children in the womb. But other than that, it was party line vote.
Excellent. So what are the next steps for that bill before it gets to the governor's desk?
Yeah, it's got to go back to the Senate to be approved with some of the changes mm-hmm. the House made. And then it'll end up on the governor's desk to be signed into law.
Wow, certainly a big win for pro-life issues this session, I would say. Absolutely there. Another bill they debated on the same day, however, had a little bit of a different outcome. This is legislation. It was House Bill 1280. It's been referred to as the trigger bill. The idea is that if Roe v. Wade is overturned by the Supreme Court, that abortion would then be abolished in Texas. But Speaker Dade Phelan sort of tipped his hand a little bit and suggested that maybe that's not actually the case.
Yeah, so you have this trigger bill. And then State Rep Brian Slayton uh-huh. brought an amendment to say, look, actually, let's not wait until mm-hmm. Roe v. Wade is overturned. Let's just abolish abortion now, right? Let's protect all children in the womb mm-hmm. from being killed now. Well, almost immediately, Democrats used political, parliamentary maneuvers, a point mm-hmm. of order, to try to kill Slayton's effort. And the Speaker of the House went along with it.
A little bit of truth in some of his comments. Take a look when Brian Slayton brought this amendment.
Members, this amendment is a very simple amendment. If you intend on voting yes on this bill, it'd be very easy for you to vote yes on this amendment. This amendment simply changes the timeline from, well, let me just say this. If you plan on voting on this bill and you want to save life in the womb, date uncertain, next year, 5 years, 10, 15, 20 years from now, all this bill does is speed up the timeline, and we would save life in the womb this year.
Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Moody, what purpose?
Raise a point of order against further consideration of the Slayton Amendment under Rule 11, Section 3, on the grounds that the amendment changes the original purpose of the bill.
Please bring your point of order down front. Mr. Moody raised a point of order against further consideration of the Slayton Amendment to Committee Substitute to House Bill 1280 on the Rule 11, Section 3 of the House Rules on the grounds that the amendment changes the original purpose of the bill. Mr. Moody argues that the purpose of the bill is to ensure that there is no gap in state law if and when a judgment of the United States Supreme Court or an amendment to the United States Constitution authorizes states to prohibit abortion. The Slayton Amendment would make the bill's prohibition on abortion effective September 1, 2021, regardless of any court decision on constitutional amendment. The purpose of the amendment is exactly opposite of the purpose of the bill. Accordingly, the point of order is well taken and sustained.
Well, as you could see, the amendment was ultimately struck down by Speaker Dade Phelan, so we didn't get a vote on that from lawmakers, didn't get to see how House members would have voted on that. But again, really interesting to see that Speaker Dade Phelan saying that an amendment to abolish abortion would be, quote, exactly opposite of the purpose of the bill. Very, very interesting to see there. Another big issue that was happening, though, on the other side of the Capitol, actually on the same day as they were debating the heartbeat bill and this trigger bill, was constitutional carry.
Yeah, and this whole issue has taken an interesting ride this legislative session, right? You have the Texas House passing constitutional carry a while ago, and then it headed over to the Senate where there was some questions if Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick was going to pass it. What was he going to do with it? Was he going to let it stall, right? And then after some pressure from grassroots activists, you know, they started kind of changing their tone, and the Senate yesterday then decided to pass it, right?
That's been very, very interesting to see, as you did see the Senate passing this bill. Now, they didn't pass it exactly as it came over. They did end up adding some amendments. Some of those amendments are causing gun rights activists to be concerned about its prospects going forward, much like the heartbeat bill, as we just discussed. The next step in the process is that the House has to either concur with those amendments, which it seems like they will not. State Representative Matt Schaefer has indicated that he's very concerned about some of the amendments that went on. For example, there's one amendment that would prohibit an individual from carrying a handgun if they have also been convicted of disorderly conduct with a firearm, deadly conduct, terroristic threat, or an assault in the last 5 years. Some sources have said this amendment, regardless of its intentions, might actually make the bill subject to a point of the order when it comes back to the House. But it's been really interesting. It goes back to what we've talked about numerous times on the show, which is that if something's made a priority, it can get done. It can absolutely get done in the Texas Senate.
Yeah, well, and we saw that early in the session when the Senate brought up a bill for the first time and passed it in a matter of hours, right? So whenever you hear your representatives come back home after the legislative session and say, oh, we ran out of time, right? Well, they've proved that when they want to do something, they can get it done very fast.
Right, well, and it's, you know, it's not time to celebrate yet, as someone said, on constitutional carry. You know, removing that permit requirement for handguns, as there's still a little bit left in this process before it would ultimately get to the governor's desk to get signed. But I can absolutely tell you from being in the Capitol this week that pressure is continuing to build on these lawmakers to get those Republican Party of Texas priorities passed. That was the message at a press conference held by the Texas GOP earlier this week, where Chairman Alan West laid out some of their top priorities and urged lawmakers to follow through on them. Check it out.
Thanks, everyone. Lieutenant Colonel retired Alan West, the chairman of the Republican Party of Texas. Why are we here today? We want to talk about some of the concerns, some of the insights, perspectives we have on this 87th legislative session. We're in the final month, and we know we got about 2, maybe 3 weeks before everything is pretty much so shut down because we have to abide by the 140-day rule. One of our legislative priorities is to curtail the executive overreach, and we still know that HB3 is alive. And if I'm correct, it's been voted out of the committee and headed to the House floor. We do not want to see HB 3 signed into law. We want to make sure that we live in a constitutional republic, which means that orders, edicts, mandates, and decrees are not the way that we're supposed to be ruled over. We're supposed to be governed. So we do not support HB 3. The chairman of the Public Education Committee is a Democrat by the name of Representative Dutton. And what SB 29 would have done, it passed in the Senate, SB 29 would have prevented gender dysphoric males from competing on competition fields, sports fields, with females. Title IX is very important. I think a lot of feminist organizations, I think a lot of women here supported Title IX. I have two daughters who play sports in high school. And I want to make sure that we continue to allow those opportunities to our young women to be able to compete fairly against other young women and so that they can qualify for scholarships. I hope that SB 29, someone will come around and reintroduce that in the House so they can be voted out of committee. The last thing I want to bring up is I'm not one of those people that agree with creating new government agencies. And right now it seems that there's a $5.5 million new government agency called the Office of Health Equity. It is not the government's business to get into equity or equality. Texas and the United States of America is based upon equality of opportunity, not equality of outcomes. And I'm very fearful when we use the language of the progressive socialist left, what equity can come out to mean when it comes to our health care. So those are the points that I want to bring out, and I will turn it over to the senior representative that is here right now, and that is Representative Tenderholm.
I'll tell you, some good things just happened within the last hour and a half or two in Texas. We did not get the abolition bill, but we did get the heartbeat bill. It passed today on second reading. And I believe in September timeframe, if the governor signs it before then, we will no longer have people murdering unborn children at the time that they can detect a heartbeat. Another huge priority that's going to be heard, I believe, tomorrow is election integrity, and it's huge. I'm not sure how many amendments we're going to see on that bill, but from the looks of what I've seen of both the Senate and the House version, they're both very good products. I'm excited to see which one comes, and it'll determine what kind of amendments we do to that bill. I think that we're going to see a really good product. But the big problem is that we still have Republican priorities that are not moving in the House. We're trying our darndest in the House to do it, but we really count on what I call the lowest level of local control, and that's you, and that's the voters that are going to watch this video and watching online. Call your representative, call the chairman, call the chairwomen, push them to get the Republican priorities passed, because we're in the House. My colleague here and I, we're ready to pass them. We're ready to vote yes on every single Republican priority that's laid in front of me. What I wanted to talk with you about is, I guess, probably a subject that I've probably been introduced to most of you by is my amendments. And let me start with this. Everyone, you must believe in accountability. You have it all your life. As a child, you have accountability when your parents have been gone and you were supposed to clean the house. When that garage door opens, accountability begins. Whenever you're at work and your supervisor or boss have been off on vacation or conference, when they come home, the accountability begins. And when we get to sine die, accountability begins on the Republicans in Texas that are elected to serve in this building. We've had control for almost 20 years. It's a shame it takes us this long to do things. We have an issue, the gender modification of children. We have an issue that should not be an issue in Texas, but unfortunately it is. And if when we sine die, if children are still able to go through a permanent and barbaric practice of gender modification, shame on every one of us, including me. If we don't pass this bill to protect children, I hope I'm voted out of office. Just start over with brand new Republicans, as far as I'm concerned. I'm not here to go after any one person. If we can't stand up for children, what are we good for? I just want to ask you all to continue to fight, continue to call, continue to, unfortunately, beg for people to do things that in their heart they know they wouldn't want happen to their own child or grandchild. Thank you all for being here, and we have no choice but to stop this practice in Texas. And I'm proud to have all of you joining us.
Well, as you can see, that was Wednesday. And since then, the pressure has only continued to build, as lawmakers are continually being pressured right now to put those Republican Party of Texas priorities on the calendar, get them to the governor's desk. I will say the most exciting part of the press conference probably was this point. We'll show you the clip here where a reporter from a local Austin TV station showed up late. Lieutenant Chairman Alan West challenged him to do some push-ups. Watch this.
You're late.
Push-ups.
Push-ups. Push-ups, right? Push-ups. Push-ups.
He said after. Yeah, right.
I know, but you asked a question. You still haven't done push-ups. Now you're up to 20, because you asked two questions.
I'll have that one more.
You're up to 30. How many people would like to see a member of the media do 30 push-ups?
Can I respectfully decline?
Okay, I'll tell you what. You want me to do them with you?
Oh, wow.
How old are you? I'm going to do them four. Come late to another one of my Thank you all for being here.
Not bad, I would say 30. How many push-ups can you do, Jacob, right now?
I mean, the colonel's probably got me beat.
Okay, well, we won't back up the camera, make you do all that. Certainly some stuff going forward. Not a lot of time left, but a lot of priorities, as I mentioned, still yet to move across the finish line. We're going to be following all those at TexasScorecard.com. Some other big issues, gender modification, women's sports, a number of these issues. We're going to see ultimately if they end up crossing the finish line. So you can check all that out at TexasScorecard.com. As well, right there, you can see on our tracker page, you can follow the legislative priorities of the Republican Party of Texas, as well as the Texas Democrats, to see how both parties' priorities are moving, as well as check out the Texas Scorecard directory. You can contact your lawmaker and find out how to get a hold of them, their office, I think we've got their Facebooks, their Twitter, however you want to get a hold of them, right? You can get a hold of them there. Well, I want to thank everybody for joining us today. It's going to be a weekend. Now, this is actually the first weekend that the Texas House, at least, is going to be meeting on a Saturday. So good for them. You know, it's only a few weeks left, so it's about time probably they start doing that. We'll be watching them here at Texas Scorecard, but y'all have a great weekend. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Headline from Texas Scorecard. We're live every Friday at 11 a.m. on the Texas Scorecard Facebook page to talk about the biggest stories of the week, so check us out there or listen to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, whatever platform you prefer. While you're there, you can also check out the ever-growing line of podcasts and programming provided by Texas Scorecard.